This is Owen Thompson with the Local Journalism Initiative. As the holiday season continues, more Canadians will be shopping online for gifts and deals. With this comes the risk of falling victim to an online shopping scam. In a survey released by Nord Security, a VPN service, they found that just over 30% of Canadians have been a victim of an online shopping scam. To go over this data in a Canadian context, I spoke to Sumit Bahita, professor of emerging technologies at Toronto Metropolitan University and former director of innovation and policy at Rogers Cybersecure Catalyst. In this interview, we talk about the trends of cybercrimes and what people can do to prevent falling prey to them.
Okay, so to start out, would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Sumit Bhatia. I'm a cybersecurity researcher and expert. I work with the Toronto Metropolitan University. I'm also a consultant within the industry.
And how long have you been working within the cybersecurity industry?
Say 5 years specifically within the cyberspace, but generally the emerging technology space with a crossover of AI and cyber, I'd say probably about 15 years.
Surveys and whatnot have been coming out regarding cybersecurity. And cybersecurity incidents have been quite a big topic, especially within Toronto with the Toronto Public Library last month or a couple months ago now. So with that, as well as the holiday season coming up, a lot of the issues that revolve around cybersecurity are revolve around specifically through scamming. So what are some of the issues when it comes to cybersecurity for just the common person with the coming up to this holiday season?
Sure thing. So maybe I'll start by setting up the fact that holidays are some of the hottest deal days of the year. Incredible deals, discounts. And we see a surge in shopping, really high volumes of transactions from a much more diverse group of shoppers who are often getting very excited about all segments of shopping. What we see during this time is that shoppers start to take chances and risks they typically don't take during the other parts of the year. We know that they're shopping across phones, desktops, smart devices, other connected devices. We know that the volume of shopping goes up, so they start to be less, I guess, wary of some of the things that we typically would suggest that they look for. And that makes for a perfect playground for attackers and scammers who are capitalizing on this because they know that things are going to get overlooked in the excitement and often the pace and pressure at which consumers are transacting. So I'd say some of the things that we really look for, phishing, I'd say, is probably one of the most pervasive form of attacks. These are emails that are often impersonating real brands or people that you're familiar with and usually contain some form of a malware attachment that takes you to websites or other parts of the web that look familiar, but often have elements that are missing details or crucial information that makes the site legitimate.
So just before we continue with that line there, you brought up that consumers and people are, especially around this time of year, are more likely to take risks. So what exactly are these risks that you're talking about?
I think, a few different things. We know that shoppers are going to look at a range of different types of organizations and businesses because they're shopping for a much larger group of people. And that means, I'll just give you an example. For instance, we know that this year surveys are saying that 23% say they will shop with small, medium businesses because they want to support local. Now, small, medium business sites don't often have that same level of detail that larger sites do. So impersonating a website for a small, medium business is often easier. Domains get overlooked because we don't know what the typical domain format should be for a business. And with small, medium businesses, we overlook some of those things. And so those are some of the issues that we see highlighted at this time of the year. There's others, things like, we see people shopping in public Wi-Fi environments, not realizing that criminals will often set up malicious hotspots and try to intercept communications. So those are just some examples of things that folks will often overlook at this time.
What information are these scammers and these, I guess, hackers trying to get at when they are phishing and whatnot?
Usually it's a combination of things, but at this time we usually see they're going after payment. So credit card information is probably the most often used. And then we see debit card details because a lot of people are shopping using debit cards now online as well. We see a lot of scams around gift cards because gift cards are easy to crack into. And a lot of people, I think the stats say that the second most purchased gift format is a gift card during the holiday time. So that's a thing that they're looking for, is to scam the numbers off of gift cards. And then we also see a rise in targeting seniors, because seniors start taking chances around online shopping, which is not their usual domain to shop in. And because it's a time of giving and family, seniors become a bit more sensitive to receiving information or emails from people that are familiar to them. And those often become gateways to scamming or taking them to places where people are asking for help and require immediate transaction to take place.
When a hacker or a scammer, and they get all your information, it's quite obvious what they're going to be doing with your credit card, your debit card, gift cards. They're going to be taking the money out of it. But what happens to the rest of your information, like your name, your address, your email? Are there any, potential password security issues when that happens?
Absolutely. I think those are all concerns that we ask folks to be wary of. It's at this particular time of year, we see that the motive largely being financial, but the data, your privacy, is still being compromised in that process. And there is a chance that that data can be used to continue attacks for the remainder of the year. If they have access to your passwords, they're certainly not limited to only using it for this time of the year. Often, privacy-related data is kept and held and then utilized in other types of attacks. You know, these are also times when they may try to crack into your work email and try to see if they can impact or get into work servers, or they're going to try and use these passwords to try attacking your social media accounts. So usually this data can be repurposed for other types of attacks as well. But this particular time of the year, we just find that the financial motive is probably the greatest.
The VPN company, NordVPN, did their own internal survey of their users. And what they found was that their survey showed that every fifth Canadian has been scammed or has experienced a Black Friday or Cyber Monday scam. So it's about 2 million Canadians. Is that number high, especially for this time of year?
That number doesn't surprise me. It is high. And, we see the number of attacks going up every year because the number of people shopping online is continuing to rise every year as well. We're seeing a greater volume of transactions every year. We know that last year we saw almost a 4% to 5% increase in total spend by Canadians. This year, we've already seen research saying, I think Shopify had done a survey where they said that 37% of Gen Zs plan to spend more than last year. And the majority of consumers, they say they will spend the same or more, which again brings us to that 4% to 5%. So I see a continued growth, and that number certainly doesn't surprise me. We know that as Canadians embrace technology and they really diversify how they use tech to shop online. You know, we've got smart speakers now that you can make purchases from. You've got other IoT devices, gaming devices, phones, desktops. We see the opportunity for scammers to step in and form some form of an attack or plan some form of attack to continue rising. You mentioned Black Friday. We saw in October a threefold increase in domains using the words Black Friday. So they weren't original domains. They were they had been associated with a big brand's name and the words Black Friday tagged along. And folks often forget to note some of those things. And those are the ways that scammers are trying to get people's attention, is have deals that look too good to be true and say things that typically seem okay, but have just the right amount of anomaly for it to be insecure.
I find it interesting that you brought up that the generational divide of it, where you said Gen Z was 46% more likely to purchase items online?
Somewhere around that number, that's correct, yes.
Considering that's almost half of the generation and quite a few Canadians, typically when you think of, I guess, cybersecurity issues or people falling for scams, it's typically older people. Would this growth in usage of a younger generation also potentially lead to an increase of scams?
I would say that I don't necessarily see cybersecurity scams limited to a generation. I see the type of scams being different across generations. You know, seniors, we see a lot of attacks that have to do with banks, banking information, you know, email interception. There's something called a man in the middle attack where, you know, a scammer can step in and intercept your email communication and pretend to be someone. We see attacks of that form take place with seniors. We see scammers pretending to be people they know because seniors tend to fall out of concern for their loved ones and are less precautious as a result. Whereas we see a different kind of scam happening with Gen Zs. We see them being a bit more lackadaisical with passwords. We see a little less concern over privacy. So a lot of scams around Gen Z can often be through, you know, gaming platforms or e-commerce sites. And so just a different kind of attack that we're seeing generationally. But I would say the number of attacks are not necessarily restricted to a generation of a particular age. We're seeing it spread across quite evenly now.
What can Canadians do to increase their cybersecurity and their cyber hygiene?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I'd say, especially at this time, as I mentioned, do not shop in public Wi-Fis. There is often an opportunity for a malicious hotspot, interception of communication and transaction. If you are shopping using public Wi-Fi, make sure you're using some basic security practices such as a VPN or having antivirus malware tools installed. I always suggest consumers check the websites, take that extra step to make sure that the information you see looks valid. It's not missing important details. And if you haven't heard it enough yet already, use strong passwords for your online accounts. Use credit cards. Do not transfer money from your bank account. Credit card companies offer you just that extra layer of protection on your transactions. You do not have the same recourse with e-transfers often. And also check your credit card statements. You have the opportunity to set up alerts that notify you of suspicious activity. I also suggest folks don't save their credit card information on their browsers. Depending on the level of security with which you secure your machines, your computers, your phones, your browser data can be vulnerable. And talking about browsers, I do encourage folks to look for, in the address bar, HTTPS. The S stands for secure. And there's usually a padlock next to the domain name that indicates this is a secure site. And lastly, I suggest that we keep our personal devices updated. That means continue to do all of your updates on your operating systems, updates on your security softwares, just to make sure that they're functioning with the most current data that these companies are sending to these devices through those applications.
On the same topic of keeping all that information in cybersecurity, when you're inputting your information into these websites, how much information is too much to give out?
You know, that's a good question. I think it'll usually vary. I think when we see e-commerce sites, there's two things happening. You'll see people that will set up accounts with a particular website where they ask for a little more detail, your address, your name, you know, typically your credit card details, your shipping address versus your billing address, that kind of stuff. And sometimes you just have the opportunity to shop as a guest, in which case the amount of detail they may ask is a little bit lesser. Typically, I would say if you're shopping online, your name, your address, and then of course your credit card details are the three things that are most commonly asked. Anything else, such as, you know, your social security number or your debit card number or any other details that go beyond that, I would say should raise red flags. So usually it's the intention with which you are setting something up. If it is purely transactional, limit the amount of information. If you're trying to set up an account for, you know, future engagement of certain sort, you might have a little more information, but you should never be sharing information that has nothing to do with the shopping experience as best as possible.
Okay, so let's say I got caught in one of these scams. I was trying to get a great Black Friday deal on a toaster or something like that. And I gave out all this information. I gave out, you know, my credit, my debits, my name, my date of birth, my address, all of it. What can I do after this has happened and I have been hit?
The best thing to do is notify the authorities and notify your bank. Those are probably the two most important things to do. First and foremost, I say notify your bank, because if you have shopped using a credit card, you do have some protection that credit cards will offer, and they will engage in that process. The quicker you report it, the quicker they can start taking action, put a stop on your card, make sure that they can track those transactions back. And second, if you notify your bank, if there's any other impact of that, as in addition to your credit card transactions, you're seeing transactions on your debit card as well, notify your bank so that they can, again, start taking the action, launch inquiries around it, again, put a stop on your debit cards. And then if the impact is significantly greater, then also notify the authorities. And that I usually suggest if you suspect that the data that's being taken is being used for other nefarious purposes or in some way compromises your identity in a way that puts you at threat. Typically, if it's purely a shopping experience, like I said, scammers are typically looking to just make transactions on your cards. But if you suspect there's more to it, then definitely notify the authorities so they can take action accordingly.
So that's actually all my questions. Do you have any final comments you would like to leave off on?
Maybe I'll just say that, we rely on our financial institutions and our big banks to protect us as best as possible. But as digital natives and citizens, we have a responsibility to ensure that we are vigilant and taking the necessary steps to verify that our actions are secure and responsible. And I certainly encourage all of our consumers to know that the role that they play in this is going to add that additional layer of security and make sure that they're protected during the holidays.